Stand with me. We're going to read from Isaiah chapter 9. I'm going to read and just ask you to follow along. And I'm going to read the first 7 verses. And I'm going to preach from verse 6 primarily. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in the Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and for fuel for fire. And this is the verse I want us to focus on. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, and upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Father, give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us as a church. Help us to walk in obedience, Father, in everything that you call us to, Lord, everything that you speak to us, Lord. Help us to walk in complete surrender our lives before you, God, as a vessel to be used by you, God. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let me take you back just for a moment to last week. I was thinking about it on Sunday night. We had prayer, and there was a good turnout on Sunday night in prayer. Thank you for everyone who comes out on the first Sunday night of the month to pray for 1 hour. Acts chapter 16, verse 5. Let me start with verse 4. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles. They're referring to the Jerusalem council in Acts chapter 15. There were decisions made in that council meeting. Decisions, you know, the reality of the body of Christ is sometimes decisions have to be made. And sometimes you got to get people together in a room to make that decision. We see that in Acts chapter 15. So in Acts chapter 16, they're traveling around and they're delivering the decision that has been made in Acts 15. But I want you to get verse 5. And let me finish with verse 4. Reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. And then verse 5. So the churches were strengthened in faith and they grew daily in numbers. And I just want to take us back to last week. Many of you were here during Joe's ministry. And a lot of you received prophetic words that were spoken over your life. And I was just standing in the back and I was just watching. I know where some of y'all are. I know some of the things the Lord maybe is challenging you with, either through conversations or what have you, you know. And I just was watching and I was so amazed at the goodness of our God that he was speaking directly into our lives where we were, the word that we needed for that season. Did anybody else walk away just encouraged in that last week? Yeah? It's okay. Be happy about it. Amen? It was good, wasn't it? And I believe that what the Lord was doing was he was sending a person into our midst who would encourage our faith or strengthen our faith as a church, as a body of believers. God was saying, let me give you a word, Mountain Gap Church. This is what, and I went back and I've got it right here. I was listening to it. God will raise up boys and girls and young people. He spoke that to the church. Did you hear that? Did you see it this morning? I counted about 37, 38 kids up here. That ought to make somebody happy besides me. Is that awesome or what? God, do it. Build them up. He will raise them up. I'm telling you, there are young men and women. I know. I appreciate Ben's honesty because we all do it. We all whine, right? And we get on to our kids when they keep on with the ministry of whining. And it's not a ministry, I'm kidding. And he gets old and we were like, okay, just turn it off already. Stop. But I'm telling you, you got to look beyond that. You've got to see men and women who are mighty of God sitting up here listening to a story this morning. Sitting right next to you in that pew or in your lap is a mighty man or a mighty woman of God. Someone, you know, you used to, I was looking on Facebook this morning, Lou Shirey. I know Leslie knows Lou. He posted, he made this statement to the IPHC clergy development page. He said, "We are no longer the movers and the shakers. We are the ones who have been moved and shaken." And that's a word. I don't want to just be a mover and a shaker. I want to be someone who is moved and shaken by Almighty God. And I want to see our young boys, our young men, my son and my daughter and your son and your daughter and your nephews and your nieces and your grandkids grow up to be moved and shaken by the power of an Almighty God who is at work in their lives. Can we all agree together for that? Say amen. Amen, and so be it. And he said this is a go ye church. This is a go ye church. This is not a come sit. This is a go ye. Thank you, whoever said that's right. What happens out there? He said, what happens out there in the nations will happen here. He said there would be life. He didn't use these exact words, but he talked about people with broken bones and limbs and blindness and everything, and that God would touch them and we would see healing in this house. Can we believe for that? Can we believe that God will, if he can multiply vitamins or antibiotics 3 days in a row, I know he can raise up a dead person. I know he can bring sight to those who are blind. I know that he can touch this deaf left ear because I'm tired of living with it, y'all. And I'm going to continue to believe that God can do that. Will you believe with me, Mountain Gap Church? Can we do that together? Can we let our faith get so stirred up to say, yes, God, whatever, we just want to see you move in our midst. We want to be a vessel, a temple of the Holy Spirit, where he can move in power, where he can demonstrate life, where he can demonstrate love. He said, we're a go ye church. He said, the Holy Spirit was seated in this house. That's encouraging. He said, people would leave changed. He said, this is not the same place. We're not the same people we were 2 months ago, and we're not the same people we were 2 years ago. Look at your neighbor and tell him it's a new day. We sing that song, and I know maybe you've heard it, maybe you haven't. It's a new season. It's a new day. There's a fresh anointing coming our way. It's a season of hope and prosperity. It's a new season, and it's coming to me. Do we sing that here? No. Well, maybe I sing it in my car. We'll learn it. It's a new season. It's a new day. I won't try to remember the rest because I'll forget. But it is a new season. It is a new day. I brought this up here because I'm supposed to make announcements. There are announcements in the bulletin. Read them. Okay. Hallelujah. For a child is born to us. A son is given. This verse, Isaiah 9:6, I'm just going to preach it until the tires fall off the vehicle, these next four messages that I'm going to do. We're going to look at every one of those. Wonderful Counselor. We're going to look today at the gift of guidance. I don't believe it's an accident. As I was preparing this week, I was looking and I was thinking about last week. And I was thinking, so many of you, how many of you had a word spoken of your life? Put your hand up and leave it up for me a second. Look around for a minute. I'm looking for my water, but now I'm going to look at y'all. Look around. How many of you had a word spoken? That's good. What do you do with that word? And how you steward that word? You understand when I say steward what I mean? How I care for it. Just like you care for a child. That's a living thing. Living baby. A son or a daughter. That word is alive, and it speaks to your potential. It speaks. It is not a promise. Understand this. It's only a promise if you walk in obedience. It's a spoken word to your potential of what God has for your life. And some of you in this room, maybe you didn't receive a word, but you've been, maybe you've had your nose in the book and you've been having quiet time, and the Lord just said, this word is for you today. This quiet time is for you. This thing I'm speaking to you right now, this is for you. And so you've received the word of the Lord in that way. Some of you, maybe years ago, the Lord spoke something to you. Maybe a friend emailed you or mailed you a letter and said, I believe the Lord wants me to tell you this. I want to say to us, church, it's a word to our potential. It does not mean that I just sit back in my recliner and say, okay, Lord, do your stuff. I have to be actively engaged in this word. I've got to walk this thing out in obedience. Because I can violate the words, these words, and nullify the word spoken. So we've got to steward this word that was spoken to us. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the gift of strength, Everlasting Father, the gift of fatherhood. Something that probably, like a lot of you, I knew I had it messed up. Because of some fatherhood role models in my own life. We're going to talk about that. And then on Christmas Eve, December 24th, we're having a 4 p.m. service, 1 hour. Invite your friends, invite your family, those that don't go to church, just invite them. We're having a special 1 hour Christmas Eve service here, and we're going to talk about the gift of peace. And it's going to be highly evangelistic. It's going to be a message specifically geared for those who are far from Christ, who do not have a relationship with Jesus. The gift of peace, the Prince of Peace. So this verse, Isaiah 9:6, it reveals a couple things. It reveals to us a child is born, a son is given. A child is born, his humanity, a son is given. A reference to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, I think. The son, his divinity. So this verse is a great verse just to go to if you're struggling with theology, and maybe you're like, well, Pastor Rick, I understand Jesus was God, but he was also a man. How did that happen? Well, he was fully God. He was fully man. He came to earth as a man. He wasn't a symbolic man. He was tempted in every way, just like you and I were. Scripture says that. He was tempted. That means he got mad at somebody when they cut him off in the chariot. Right? A little bit of road rage. It means he got mad, or he was tempted to get mad. He was tempted, just like we were. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 says he gave up his divine privileges. He took the form or the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. Jesus was born a very real birth. There was a real lady. Her name was Mary. She was a virgin. I'm going to put it down. We'll put the cookies down on the bottom shelf for us. We got to know this. This is foundational Christianity. We got to know this. Because there will be days coming when people will try to distort and try to get you to try to buy into something less than the truth. Jesus was born like you and I were born. Bloody and messy and painful. He was born of a Virgin Mary, conceived, though, by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 7:14, it says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and his name will be called Emmanuel. Who knows what Emmanuel means? God with us. His name, so even in his name, there is humanity and divinity. God, divine, with us, man. So we got to know that. John 1:14, this is one of my favorite passages. It says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Never miss the grace and truth, y'all. Okay? Legalism will take you into the truth. and distort truth and truth and truth and truth and truth until you're walking in a set of rules and there's no room for grace. But Jesus made room for grace in his life because he was full of grace. And then there's this other sloppy end that we can go to. This is legalism full of truth, but there's no grace. And then we can go to this other sloppy end, and it's full of grace, and I can just do whatever I want to because you know what? I'm saved. And that's not a relationship either. Because you have got to, and I have got to be confronted with truth. And this word, this is truth. That's what I apply to my life. Jesus, full of grace and truth, it says in John 1:14. I love what it says in the Message. It says, the word became flesh and blood, and he moved into the neighborhood. Isn't that good? It's like, hey, who's the new guy living down the street there? Well, that's Jesus. He's in your neighborhood. He's in my neighborhood. There's a lot more space between our homes in my neighborhood than there is in some. Some of us live in neighborhoods where you have a city lot. Some of us live in neighborhoods where you have an acre. Some of us live, and I've lived in all of these. You're in an apartment and you got a next door neighbor right next door. And Jesus is living there. The humanity of Jesus. Let's talk about this. I'm talking about the wonderful counselor. The humanity of Jesus. He was hungry, just like you and I didn't get. You remember that? Matthew chapter 21. In John chapter 19, he was thirsty. In John chapter 4, he was tired. In Matthew chapter 8, he slept. In Hebrews 2, I referenced this one already, he was tempted. In 1 Peter 4, he suffered. And then in Matthew 27, he died. Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, hungry, sleepy, irritable, tempted, suffering, dead. Pretty much there's not an experience that you or I go through that he hasn't already faced and that he's not walking with you through now. Yet his death was different. He knew the what and the why behind his death. His death was different because of this. He didn't die due to sin like you and I do. He died for sin. Let me say it again. Jesus didn't die due to sin. He died for sin. He was sinless. There was no sin in his life. There was no sin for him in a personal sense of responsibility that he had to take ownership of. But out of great compassion and a great love, the greatest sacrifice came to this earth, born of a Virgin Mary, fully man, to die for me. He was sinless, unlike us. And he was divine. Colossians tells us he is the image. Image means exact replication or representation. The Son of God is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him, listen to this, this is about Jesus, y'all. In him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority, all things have been created by him, through him, and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Jesus was fully divine, but he was fully man. Wonderful counselor. He was the Son of God, the Son of Man. He was Christ the Messiah, God. He was Jesus of Nazareth, man. You see those names used in Scripture? Matthew refers to him as Emmanuel, the God who is with us. So names mean a lot. That was all introductory for this next four messages. Names mean a lot. So why Wonderful Counselor? Who knows what Adam's first job was? Naming. Adam, I have a job for you. I want you to name. Names mean a lot to God. Isaac, his name means laughing. Sarah laughed at God, right? You remember that? God challenged her and she denied it. And then she got pregnant. Named their son Isaac because God had brought laughter, it says. Jacob, the deceiver, stole Esau's birthright and his blessing. Names mean a lot, folks. Moses, his name means drawn out because Pharaoh's daughter named him after she drew him out. See, a lot of times in scripture or in that culture of that day, you wait until the child's a little bit older before you name him. So, I mean, just for fun, this is not in my notes, but wouldn't it just kind of be fun? Like Michael and Stephanie, like your kids are like Ben's like, how old are you, Ben? 7. So you're like, okay, Ben's 7 now. Let's change his name because of the way he's acting. Well, I kind of got to look for Michael. Like, I've already thought this once. I'm just kidding, Ben. Thank you for being our volunteer. But what if we did that? What if we waited until they were 7? And what do you call them in the meantime? Hey, A, B, 1, 2, whatever. Unless you're really mad, and then it's son of Rick, son of Johnny. That's because it would be like the middle name, right? See, I'm Richard Lynn Womack. I don't tell a lot of people my middle name because I was actually named after an uncle, Lynn, Uncle Lynn. But I never got the full Richard Lynn Womack unless I was in trouble, right? Is that so? If you wait until they're 7, I mean, what do you do then? Child A, son of Johnny. That would be their equivalent of their middle name, I guess. Wouldn't that be interesting, though? Let's just wait. If there are any ladies pregnant, and I'm not prophesying, okay? There's no prophetic anointing on me right now. But if there are any ladies pregnant, maybe just food for thought, maybe you want to consider waiting until the child is about 4, 7, or 12. And then name them. It's going to make it real interesting when you sign them up for school. So this week we want to look at the name Wonderful Counselor. And I want to take the words or the phrase Wonderful Counselor and I want to divide it in half. There's, you know, I read several commentaries and there's just a lot of opinion out there. I'm just going to preach what I feel like the Lord has given me in application for this house for this day. Okay. And some of the commentaries are like, well, it really should be two names. And no, I think it's really one name. Okay. Scripture says Wonderful Counselor. So that's the way I'm going to preach it. We good? Wonderful means something unusual, something extraordinary, something miraculous, something hard to understand. Can we all come together in these few moments and have this understanding that Jesus is wonderful? Not just wonderful, wonderful in the sense of unusual. Wonderful in the sense of his life is miraculous. Wonderful in the sense of full of wonder. Like sometimes, Jesus, when I read the stories, I don't know that I would have done it that way. Is anybody else? No? I'm the only one. His life would demonstrate the acts of God. Over 70 times in the Old Testament, this word wonderful is found. And when it's found, it points us to things that are beyond our human expectation or understanding. Things that I could do in my own. So when we read the word wonderful in the Old Testament, don't just think, oh, how lovely. Because it's not just lovely. Don't just think how pretty. Because it's not just pretty. Think, this is really unusual. This is really miraculous. And so Jesus, the baby born of a virgin, comes to earth. He will be born, Isaiah prophesies in 9:6, and his name will be Wonderful Counselor. Because he is going to reflect, his life is going to be a pattern of God working miracles, feeding hungry people when there is no more food, bringing the dead back to life, restoring sight to the blind. That's the acts of God. Those are the acts of God. And Jesus is going to reflect that in his life. His name is wonderful. Psalms chapter 9 verse 1 says, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount of all of your wonderful deeds. His deeds. What are his deeds? Can somebody tell me the activity of God in your life? Somebody give me a testimony real quick. 30 seconds. How has God moved in you? Go for it. You want the microphone? Okay. You want the water instead? That's right.
You know, that
so before the beginning of time, when this ceiling is going to come falling down, God says in his appointment book, wait, we need to redirect Susan over here and make sure that she's sitting at this conference table. Okay, well, so let's scale it back a little bit further. What's the salesman's name? First name?
Where?
So where I need him to be here at a certain time. So that means we got to make sure nobody gets in his way to slow him down. We can't have any slow drivers. Or maybe there were slow drivers and it did slow him down. So that means the alarm clock's got to be set up. So wait a second. So that we can protect Susan, where has to be born? Do you see the hand of our God? When you and I just stop and we pay attention, we can see the miraculous hand of God all around us. And it's more than thank the Lord for your safety. That's the wonderful deed of God. But even beyond that, not more than that, but in addition to that, I would say, is how he orchestrates all of these things so that someone's there just at the right time, so that you step out of your office, so you're sitting at a conference table, so the other person that works part-time is not in there, so she's over there talking to Mike. That's how our God works. He's wonderful. He guides. He provides. Okay, let's do this. Interactive preaching. Has he guided you in the last week? Put your hand up real quick. All right, put it back down. Has he provided for you in the last week? Hand up. Has he shielded you in the last week? Put your hand up. Put your hands back down. Has he protected you in the last week? Has he given you, put it back down. Are you just going to leave your hands up because it's like every one of them, right? Has he given life this week? Put your hand up. Has he sustained you this week? Put your hand up. All right, now it's going to get real fun. Has he convicted you this week?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Has he disciplined you this week?
Yes.
Yes. Has he loved you this week?
Amen.
Has he watched over you this week? Do you not see? Can we just look and see the wonderful acts of our God? He is for us. He is not against us. His name is Jesus. He came to be born so that we can walk in the wonderful, the full of wonder life that God has given to us. I know I'm crazy. I'm excited. It's good to be excited. Our God is good. I've never done that before. He is good. His mercies are new every morning. I wake up, Lord, thank you. I know I'm going to need it today. His mercies are new every morning. His love is unfailing. You read the Psalms, I can't remember which one it is, but his love never fails. His love never fails. His love never fails. Over and over in the Psalms we read, the gift God gives is wonderful. We can't always wrap our head around it, but we can learn from it. When we look at Jesus, when we look at the babe born in a manger, when we go from the place where Patrice read this morning, where he's born, and we go over to the place where he died, we see a life lived. Where did that come from? We see a life lived. that in his parables and in his sermons and in his teaching and in his miracles and in his sacrifice and in his love. We can't always wrap our mind around it, but we can learn from it. When we get into this word and we say, Lord, I don't know that I fully understand, but I need to take something away from this. This life of Jesus, I need to know. Because this life is wonderful. It's the life that I want to walk in. Wonderful counselor. Counselor means advisor. One who comes alongside. One who has something to say. Now, understand, there are plenty of people with opinion.
That's right.
Right? Opinions are like armpits, right? Y'all heard that? Who's never heard that? Everybody's got more than one and it always stinks. Okay. I'll make sure I never put that in my notes. It's not there to begin with. If I just stick with my notes, that'd be better. Advisor, someone who speaks and urges direction regarding thought and action. I want to say this about advisors. Proverbs, and I've got it on my notes in my office. I didn't put it in these notes, but Proverbs talks about a multitude of counselors. I want to say to us, body of Christ, listen carefully. Turn your listening ears on. Know who the advisors are in your life and the quality of their walk with the Lord. I can find an audience anywhere. You can find an audience anywhere that'll listen. You know why? Because life is drama. That's why I don't watch the news much. Y'all have heard me say this. I don't watch the news much. It's just drama. Drama until they can get to another commercial and try to sell me something that I don't really need. So I gotta realize something. And the Lord spoke something to me when he said, Rick, go to Mountain Gap. When he opened the door for me to be here, he said, Rick, you need a new set of voices in your life. I needed voices like Joe Corey in my life. I need voices like Joe Corey in my life. I need voices like the handful of other guys that are close to me. Chris Maxwell, the campus pastor at Emmanuel College, who we still talk probably every other week or so. And some others. I need advisors. And you need advisors too. But I want to say to us, let's get the advisors in our life, the ones who will love us through the hard stuff too. I don't need yes men. I'm thankful that the leadership team of this church, the council, they're not all yes men and women. We need that. I'm thankful for that. Because I need to know that I could be very wrong in some places. And I need to lean in and push into some of their wisdom, some of their understanding. Some of it's not even wisdom, it's just an understanding because they've been a part of this church longer than I have. So I lean into that. And you and I want to say to it, especially guys, we're the loneliest creatures on earth. Men, you're lonely. And you're afraid. You're afraid to ask someone else for their opinion. And when you do, you find someone who will tell you what you think. You need to reach out to someone who will tell you what's right instead of what you think. I've walked this road as a man, lonely for most of my life. Yeah, I had a relationship with God. But I didn't have men who would challenge me. I didn't have men who would encourage me. I didn't have men who would believe in me. Men who I could reach out to and say, I need prayer. Men who I could reach out to and say, I'm hurting. Men who in my lowest point in my life, I sat there and I said, folks, I understand why people stop going to church. I'm hurting that badly. I've been there. I've wanted to give up, but I knew the call was greater. And it was only because of the guys in my life that I could go forward. Wonderful Counselor, we need Jesus, but we also need advisors in our life. There's wonder in His name. There's wonder in His birth. Wonderful. Miraculous. There's wonderful. There's wonder in His life. There's wonder in His teachings. There's wonder in His miracles. There's wonder in the transfiguration. There's wonder in the death. And there's wonder in the resurrection. You take the life of Jesus and you zoom out and you see the miraculous hand of God at work. Do you see it? Do you see it? Karen, come up and play. There's also wisdom in His name. There's wisdom in His name. Counselor. He's your guide. He's your advisor. He is wisdom and He is truth. He's always available to you. He's always listening to you. When I'm sitting in with my office, I have to purposefully, I try to do it, make sure this thing, unless I know my wife is not feeling well or something, is away from me somewhat. Because if I don't, then I'm not engaged. Jesus is always engaged. He's your source of comfort. He's your source of hope. He's the only one who can enable you and I to live a victorious life. As we come into this Christmas season, we're talking about the Wonderful Counselor. I want you to think about what I've tried to preach here this morning. Wonderful. Full of miraculous, only God can do these things kind of stuff. Only God. Wonderful Counselor. An advisor for me. He sent His Holy Spirit. He sent His Holy Spirit. He gives His Holy Spirit so that I can walk in the Spirit, so that I can walk in truth, so that I can walk in His wisdom and in His understanding. This morning, I feel a very strong passion, conviction, that this morning some of you in this body have received a word from the Lord. Some of you received that word last week. Some of you, it goes back further. Some of you, maybe this week. And you're at a point where you need to steward it, where you need to say, okay, Lord, this is the thing that You put in my hands. And I want to make sure that I take good care of this. Because this thing that You give, it has the key to open up the potential and the promise of what You've spoken. So help me to take good care of this thing. This morning, the gift of God is the gift of guidance. God gives direction. He sent His Son to give guidance so that we don't have to walk aimless or hopeless, so that we don't have to be aloof in our understanding of what God wants. He wants to give direction. I want to ask you to stand with me.